sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters, period. Hey, this is Judy. I am going to pop in here because this is a third part of our BDSM series. And this was originally going to be a two-parter, but it broke beautifully into three parts. So this is the episode we are going to talk more in detail about the difference between BDSM and abuse. And if you were listening to the first two episodes, and I highly suggest that you check them out as well, the topic in discussion was inspired from a great listener question. That question is BDSM a healthy sexual activity? As a feminist, I'm instantly turned off. How can this be a loving sexual dynamic? Great question. Thank you, Justine, for asking. And we're going to dive in. It's going to be right kind of in the midst of conversation. Here we go.
Well, and also getting the whatever it is, the chutzpah we need, the confidence, the power, the knowing it's okay to express that we would like something different.
Yeah.
Or that we need something different. And
oftentimes that happens so far into a relationship
mm-hmm.
that it's really hard to unlearn. Mm-hmm. And we're not the most patient women on the face of the planet. I mean, gratification works on both, you know, for everybody. We're all trained for immediate gratification nowadays. That's right. Why so many people are attached to their phones and engaged in their relationships.
Right.
So
to give women a little bit of a, and again, easier said than done, I know, but I know from having some conversations with men, when their partner finds a way to bring up some of these things about, wouldn't it be fun if, or hey, what about trying this, or I would be interested, or opening up, that usually that is welcome. And interestingly enough, and this is where I think there's so much miscommunication with men and women. Men are, a lot of theories go through my head just from the experience of talking to people, but there's men who are afraid to bring up that they would like something different, or they like something even slightly kinky. Women are afraid to bring up if they want something, because that's a fearful thing in their relationship, because as women, we're supposed to be nice and sweet and not want sex. But statistically, you know, according to studies, they basically says that, yeah, women are actually looking for a lot more, and I know you've talked about this too, that women are really a lot more interested in kink and doing things a little differently than men realize. And it's that, how do we open up that communication, which I know is exactly what you're trying to do with the work you do with people.
Right.
How do people get in the same place or have that safe space to say, I would love to, or God, I'm not sure if I want to, but dang, I want us to work better.
And that it all comes down to sexual authenticity. You've got to know in your mind what's important to you with your, now we have this, the sexual values I've put out as a PDF for you. Where do you have that posted?
Actually, that is on Patreon, because it went with the part of the episode that is behind the paywall. So
perfect.
For those.
Well, there's a good plug. I have a survey that you can take around your sexual values. The best way to be authentic is to identify your values. Now, your everyday values versus your sexual values can look a little different, because one is private and one is public. You know, one is your everyday life and one is your life behind closed doors, or whatever percentage of your life you choose to allow sex to be a part of it. For me, I do sex all day long, all the time. So I'd say for me, my values have to align with my sexual values. Otherwise, I would not be resonating. I would not be producing content that was in line with what I believed. But for most people, you have your family values, your personal values, your work ethic, things like that. And then there's a list of very different values that are associated with sexuality. It's kind of like a yes, no, maybe list, but for your soul. Mm. It's kind of like going through and just kind of prioritizing what's important and what's not important in sexuality for you. Once you've figured out your sexual values and you compare them to your everyday values, you can kind of say, huh, okay, that makes sense. Or, wow, I am kind of, maybe I'm a Gemini, you know, maybe I have one persona here and one persona there. As long as you can reconcile with that, as long as you understand who you are behind closed doors and in public, and you can stand in your truth in both places, that's sexual authenticity, flat out. Now, knowing who you are sexually authentically then allows you to enter a relationship without lies, without expectations of something outside of, how do I want to say that? Let me back that up. If you're sexually authentic and your partner is also sexually authentic, you now have common ground that you can speak on. You now have acceptance. You now have a place of communication, a place of negotiation, a full out truthfulness about your sexuality that has no lies. There's no hidden agenda. There's no hidden fantasies. There's no, you know, nothing needs to be hidden because you know each other. I would recommend every couple strive for sexual authenticity. Each individual, this is not as a couple, we are blah, blah, blah. No, this is the one partner and the one partner, each of them being sexually authentic and accepting each other for who they are. That is really, really important when it comes to these kind of play situations, these kind of situations where you want to spice up your marriage, where you want to spice up your love life, where you want to go back into the dating world. Any of these things, without addressing the underlying fear, shame, guilt, lies, limiting beliefs, all that kind of stuff, you're entering another relationship with some form of untruth. Mm-hmm. And that untruth can get you in very unsafe situations, unfulfilling relationships, unsatisfying sex lives, you know, without addressing what your truth is, what you really like, what you really want, and if your partner can do that for you.
Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense, but it's something our culture has really, if we think about it, promoted us not to do.
Yeah, because as the women, we were supposed to be defined by our man and blah, 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 blah. Right. Well, that's not the way it is anymore.
Right. And so how do we...
is archaic.
And so we need to move out of that and try to figure out how to move forward better, no matter where we're at. You know, the younger people, the sooner they can learn this stuff, the better they go into a good relationship with a totally different solidarity, you know. Yeah.
The other thing is that I was reading a comment, I think, that was mentioned in another one of our podcasts where we talk about intention a lot, right? And intention versus impact.
Yes.
Like, as people become more aware and less reactive or impulsive, I think the scales of balance come into line better. You can't expect people to receive truthful information without some impact that may be positive or negative without awareness. Are you understand? Are you getting that?
I think I am. I think what you're,
I'm just not wording it. It's in my brain. I'm just maybe not getting the right words out.
In my mind, it is the, you may have to speak a truth to somebody that your intent is good and pure, and it is about improving your communication relationship, but that impact, the impact on that person might be hurtful, or, but that's not what your intent is, but it's hard for them to hear. And it's hard to know your impact on something when you speak, when you have an intent, right? Your intent is good. You don't always know your impact. You can know somebody well enough sometimes to know what the, or have an idea about the impact, which might inform you of how you use your words, how you phrase something, or if you need to be in a different place or environment to say something, right? Yeah. So I think that's what you're kind of saying, is that you can't
You can't filter the things you need to say based on how you're going to impact somebody. Their awareness and consciousness is their journey. You are responsible for what you say and what you do and where your truth lies. And this is if we're living in our authenticity, when you're authentic, you have an acceptance of others. You are able to, when you are consciously aware, you already have that understanding of where somebody might be coming from or the diversities and things like that. You're already coming from that place. So if you're unclear of your intention, yes, you should double check what you're saying first. EQ is being taught like corporately. It's been being taught for over 20 years. People are being taught in the corporate setting what EQ means, emotional quotient. Mm-hmm. And in the last 5 years, EQ is being taught in schools.
Oh, nice.
Essentially, this is gonna vanquish bullying. It's gonna cut out harassment. It's gonna help people feel appreciated and cared for and make everybody a little more cautious about how they say things or a little more kind in their words. But are they being authentic? Mm-hmm. Or are they just putting a band-aid on?
Right. And I think what you're saying with being authentic, you can still be mindful, thoughtful, respectful. It isn't just throw yourself out there and whatever happens, happens.
Right. Right.
I think that's, and I wanted to go back actually and listen to the two episodes because I think that I probably overstated I think there's a lot, intent is very important. Impact is also very important. And sometimes you can have good intent and the impact can be bad, but you can then remedy that sometimes or try to work with that. It's the intent, especially if the intent is still that caring. Some people are very, I think where this person's comment was kind of coming from is some people's intent really has nothing to do with the caring about the other person, right? It's about them. Their intent is to get what they want. Or they want to impart this thing to you, but they don't really care about it, how it lands on you. And so kind of does the whole, well, that's your problem. I just dished it up, but you could have dished it up so much better.
People who have those intents don't even know their intention.
I think I get you.
You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
People sometimes are awareness illiterate.
Right. Yeah, I think
there's a certain level awareness or consciousness that makes you more responsible for impact.
Right. Or to care that you even had an impact.
Yeah. Right. And it's funny that we're talking about impact because BDSM has a lot of impact. So I wanted to bring this up because this comes kind of full circle around to what BDSM is versus what abuse is. Intent and impact are really, really super huge. I just kind of wanted to wrap this up just in maybe a little lighthearted way, sort of to, I don't know if there's a lighthearted way to do this, but it's really like the intent is so much different in BDSM in a healthy relationship than it is in any kind of abuse. I just wanted, there's a couple of comments that were made in this article that I read that I thought were really good that kind of brought that home about how BDSM and feminism can coexist. If there's, to bring it back to that too, is about BDSM is the use of sensation to elicit pleasure. That's the intention. In abuse, it's a way to cause physical, mental, or emotional damage to harm another person. That's abuse. So can you see where somebody who isn't aware of what the intention is can think they're doing BDSM and it's actually abuse? There's a little chart here. I'm going to read through it quick about what BDSM is and what abuse is. So the use of bodily sensations to elicit pleasure, versus a way to cause mental, physical, and or emotional damage or harm to a person. BDSM is a form of consensual power exchange where both participants are empowered. Abuse is taking away another person's power. BDSM is, before anything happens, each participant must negotiate and come to an agreement. Abuse, nobody knows when or how it will happen, and nobody negotiates or agrees to anything. BDSM creates excitement to see your partner. Abuse causes people to be fearful and afraid of their partner. BDSM creates and relies and builds upon trust. Abuse destroys any and all forms of trust. BDSM is designed to help fulfill the desires of both partners within a safe environment. Abuse is the cruel and violent treatment of another person. BDSM opens communication, supports an environment where both parties can talk freely about thoughts and emotions, and abuse is no communication, no support. So this is where I just felt like this, you know, intention is a big part of this, or lack of intention.
Mm-hmm.
That just really like kind of pulled all that together for me. So, and that this is somebody that's talking about how they eradicated the idea of feminism and BDSM as being okay.
And I will link to the chart, to the article, because I know I'm looking at the same chart as you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that that helps, it helps clarify what the difference is. And I want to, because I do think this is a really important point to bring up. 50 Shades of Grey is always one of those things that has had a very interesting, and we've talked about this before too, mm-hmm. it's had a very interesting effect. So it has, on one hand, it has opened the doors to people being able to communicate with girlfriends, with partners. It's brought so many people together. And then they're, at the same time, the BDSM community looks at this and goes, 50 Shades of Grey is not BDSM. And if you look at this and if you've read the books, this is a chart that helps you see why they're upset about it, why it's not okay. Because, and it's a confusing thing, right? Like one of the scenes, he's doing BDSM stuff to her without her permission. It's kind of like, hey, come over here and try this. And her saying, and I talked about this in my podcast with Emily Nagoski, and she talks about this exact thing in her book, you know, she is getting aroused from what he is doing to her because it's sexual, but she is not okay with it. She's not really comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is kind of using that as the excuse to keep going forward. Well, you're wet, so clearly you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Emily Nagoski talks huge about arousal non-concordance. Just because our genitals are doing one thing doesn't mean that we actually want it or like it. So, you know, listen to what we say versus what our body is doing. So this chart, looking at this, they both don't communicate about it, and then they kind of do communicate about it. So the 50 Shades of Grey book really muddied the waters, especially talk about muddying the waters, about some of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where some people felt really uncomfortable with it. At the same time, it drew a lot of people's curiousness. I think it speaks heavily to the fact that there's a lot more people interested in BDSM on whatever part of the continuum than people are willing to admit, that it really does open the door to, I'm intrigued by this, even if I don't know why, right? Yeah. So yay for it doing some positive things, along with maybe some of the not so great things. And for the people who were able to communicate and talk, some really nice relationship shifts have happened because of 50 Shades of Grey. People were able to get into communities to help them do it in a helpful way, right? To have their BDSM relationship, the book was the jumping off point, and then they got to a place to say, okay, now let's clear this up and make this so it's okay.
Yep, I agree with you. I read the books. I was excited to see the movies. I took them for what they were. It was just a sexy romance story, and all the stuff that was in it, I didn't read into it too far. I just knew I left the movie theater hot and horny. So.
You and many others.
There's that. But yeah, so no, this is, I hope that that Justine kind of gets the idea that there are different ways to look at this, and that, you know, if she really is having trouble with perhaps her feminine power and the idea of being dominated, maybe we need to help her turn the roles around, where maybe she's the dom if she'd be comfortable in those shoes, and she was perhaps pegging her partner or providing sensual stimuli and just making him edge or something like that, and just teasing the frick out of him for, you know, however long, putting a vibrator on his balls or clothespins on his nipples or whatever else. I mean, there's tons of things that we can do as women to men. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be them doing it to us. So, right. You know, if feminism is a real issue for you and you can't just peel that back and make it about two people having a top bottom situation, there are ways to approach BDSM from a feminine energy that can be very pleasing to your partner, as long as it's consensual and as long as it's done in a negotiated fashion. So right. some women really get off on that, pegging thing and stuff. And in case anybody doesn't know what that means inserting a dildo or a vibrator or anything into a man's rear end. So for the sake of stimulating their prostate and just giving them a good old fashioned fucking.
And you mentioned edging too. Define that for us as well.
Edging means that you are arousing a man to the point of ejaculating and then not letting it happen. So you bring them to the edge, edging, you bring them to the edge. You can feel the penis getting ready to explode, and then you apply pressure at just the right place, or you remove all stimuli, or you put some ice on it or something like that, and you make it that he can't blow. And you can do that over and over and over again and just drive him absolutely wild.
And that can be a good way if it's a person who comes really quickly.
It yes. can be
a tool to use to make their erection last longer.
To elongate the play. Now, obviously, if you're going to be doing that with your mouth or your hands or a fleshlight or anything like that kind of deal, as soon as you mount him, he's probably going to explode. So, because you can't really control it once he's inside of you, it's more difficult. You know, I mean, you can mentally tell him he can't, but mm-hmm. once it feels real good, once he's not being monitored or controlled down there, chances are he's going to erupt. So yeah, you can find a lot of resources about edging online, YouTube videos, all kinds of fun stuff. So yeah, it can be pretty fun. And if you're doing that to him and you lay next to each other in a sort of a 69 fashion, but next to each other, he can be stimulating you at the same time. Male, female, doesn't matter. You know, your parts are up by him, his parts are down by you, and you just kind of do whatever to whomever. And, you know, eventually you just let it go. So
right.
good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's a good communication time too, because sometimes I'm thinking of edging from a female perspective, that sometimes a partner can do that. And it's like almost, it's a good time to communicate of what's working and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if it's done from a teething place,
right,
then it's all the powers that it's more fun.
Right.
Say it
right.
That way,
yes.
Versus being the one who's being teased without consent. If you just want to come already and you really need to come, I mean, just let go, just go, right. Go for it. If you can't, you know, if you're in a dom sub situation and you're the dominant and you're telling, I'll use him as an example, cause that's what it would be with me, telling you that he can't, he's not allowed. Mm-hmm. It's quite fun. It's quite fun. So, yeah. But then remember that turnaround can be fair play if you're in a relationship with somebody who likes to give it back. Yeah. Or maybe you'll be coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, and you won't be able to shut it off. Who knows? You know, it can go either way. So both are fun. Both are fun. It's okay. It's all good. So as long as it's consensual, we want to just talk about the, I think they use actually rack in BDSM as a acronym.
Oh.
Risk aware consensual kink.
Okay.
So rack, that's what it means. So it's really just about that, you know, what's happening, that you're, that it's all safe, sane, and consensual, and that you're participating in kinky behavior. Risk aware consensual kink. So
everybody knows what's going on.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, this is great. And I want to thank Justine for sending in the question. That's fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that wherever she's at, you know, in the process of thinking about this, I think her question is very valid, and she's definitely not alone in having it. You know, how does this work? How do you maintain your feminine power, and can you, in doing this, which we've thrown out a ton of examples, but it's the whole being able to, if it's something she wants to explore, to be able to say what she's interested in and going at as slow as, if it's something she does want to try and see how it feels for her, to be able to go as slow as she needs to, or as simple and non-intense as she needs to, to just see, is this even,
whatever.
Yeah. Right. Is this a thing for me?
Yeah. And when she finds somebody that she trusts to push her limits, she'll know. When you have that layer of trust, that you find somebody that you play with in this way, that really understands your body and understands your mind and understands your desires, there is, the concern kind of goes away, because there's so much trust and respect for each other.
Nice. That's exciting. That's a nice place to be. I mean, like you said, that the amount of how you feel being in that space is such a different experience. And I think when we think of our different partners and how we have felt differently with each partner, sometimes it's examining and thinking, what is it that made that a good experience? What is it that made that a positive sexual experience? What is it that made me, that allowed me to let go or to do X? And I think sometimes those are really great questions to ask to help you understand your current relationship or any relationship you want to go into in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And don't forget that just because you're a powerful woman doesn't mean that you can't be on the receiving end. You are demanding pleasure for your body in a way that does it for you.
And how cool is it to have somebody who's excited to give that to you?
Yeah, really.
Like, that's some sweet shit right there. Yeah.
And like I said, I've never felt more powerful than I do in this dynamic. It is an incredibly empowering and a place where you feel heard, a place where you feel valued, a place where you feel respected, a place where you're appreciated for whatever you will do, whatever you won't do, appreciated for receiving, appreciated for giving. I mean, what a wonderful place to kind of explore and just sort of grow.
I can't help but think, if we could only bring BDSM principles into the workplace, we would all have a happier life.
Really? we should work on that too. We should do some BDSM principles and make them work.
In the workplace, yeah. It's amazing how much, honestly, if you think about it, how much a lot of our of good quality trainings about good communication and stuff in the workplace, it kind of runs along the same lines.
Well, I say when IQ and EQ get together and get hot and heavy, they're going to have a baby called SQ. Someday, the sexual quotient will be a part of
a thing, right? Right, right. Yeah. Hey, this is good stuff for your resumes. You know, I do think sometimes, like, I realize we're not at a place that, you know, running well-received sex parties is okay for most resumes. But I do think, like, Dungeons and Dragon Masters.
Dungeon Masters,
yeah. Oh, thank you. I was like, why does that word sound wrong? I'm like, because it's S&M. I'm like, am I bleeding them too much into each other? The Dungeon Masters, I think that's a total legit thing to be able to put on the resume. If that good dungeon master, man.
People skills, safety, risk management, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Knowing your characters, being able to create. I have a friend, her husband is amazing at D&D and the ability and information and rules.
You're actually talking about the game. You're talking about Dungeons and Dragons?
I'm actually talking about the game. Yeah.
Sex dungeons.
I think both. I'm saying both. We haven't got to the point where your sex dungeon can be on your resume in most resumes, but I think your D&D skills should. You should be able to use those people as reference because, man, my friend's husband does not get the credit he can have for the amount of rules that man can hold in his head is amazing to me. And I think should be right there resume worthy. And so if we can keep that, we could do that. We could keep moving and get some of these principles in there. You know, maybe your sexual quotient will be part of the deal.
Part of the future. Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing.
Awesome. All right. Well, this seems like a good place to conclude.
Yeah.
So good talk.
Yeah. Real good talk.
All right. Well, reminder to everybody, like I said, send in your questions, your thoughts.
Questions. Love them.
Yes. It's fun. It's fun to have these conversation starters and, you know, and then we don't necessarily know anything about the person, right? So it's a fascinating thing to kind of like, okay, how many directions could they be coming at this from?
Yeah, we need to contemplate and we kind of look at things from all kinds of angles so that we're covering everything. And yeah, so right. It's good.
So information is good.
Please let us know, Justine, if this answered your question.
Yeah.
Any more feedback about it.
Yes. Yes, please. That would be so fantastic. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to submit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Submit. All right. Uh-huh. Submit. That's right. So. See? You submitted a question. You're doing BDSM. You didn't even know it. Oh, man.
Funny. Oh, well, my gosh.
Thanks so much. That was great.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And yeah, this is wonderful. And we'll be back at you next week with who knows what.
On sex
matters.
Period.
Cha, cha, cha. Woohoo.
Yeah. Great.
See y'all later.
Bye.
So as I'm re-listening to this and editing it, I think it's worthy to mention that as we talked about edging, we very much ended up making it sound like it's only a guy thing, something you can do to a guy or a person with a penis. And that is not the case. Edging is just fine, or can be just fine, for those with vaginas and clitorises too. And I am just going to add in there, it can also be really annoying. So communication about what's working and not working is paramount, whether you communicate in that moment or communicate post-event. So my little additional tidbit. You can find all the podcasts at sexmatterspodcast.com. It's where you can ask a question, get on our email list. We just send you emails when the new podcasts come out. And signing up for that gets you a great list of daily positive sex affirmations. Please consider being a supporter on that website. You can also click the Become a Patron button and become part of our supporting community. We would love for you to join that for many, many reasons. There are different levels and different things with those levels. Little as $2 a month, you can support the Sex Matters podcast. And as was mentioned in our discussion around values, when you become part of our Patreon family and generously join us there, you will find that values PDF accessible to you on Patreon. So if nothing else, check that out. It's worth it. If you would like to connect up with Patricia, you can find her website at thepowerexchange.co. You'll find out how to work with her individually, her courses, and other things she has going on. She, of course, is on Facebook and is pretty active with videos and various other things, too. So it's a great place to find her. Her book, again, is called Crossing the River Called Suffering. You can connect right to that from the Sex Matters podcast.com webpage. I invite you to check out my weekly health and wellness podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And of course, you can find that also and subscribe on iTunes for both that and the Sex Matters podcast. I want to thank Justine again, the listener who sent in the question that inspired this three-part podcast. So please send in your thoughts and questions. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.